That married person was not Mike Valeni, and actually it wasn't even me who had the dream. It was somebody else. But I was quoting that, you know, yes, whatever, exactly. Whatever. It just sounds ridiculous when you go on and on. Jamie and Stoney, Friday morning, 9:02 on 97.1 The Ticket. Speaking of the host of the Always Aggravated podcast and the host of the Mike Valeni Show each and every day from 2 to 6, we are now joined to talk a little football by Mr. Valenti himself. Michael, Happy New Year. How are you, sir?
Jamie, why are you afraid to share the love that we share?
Well,
tell everyone about it.
It was a dream. It doesn't, just because you dream something, it doesn't mean it's true, right? I mean,
right. I'm still here, and everybody, and Jamie dreams every day that I wouldn't be.
I pray. Prayer and dreams are two different things.
That's true.
Please.
So Michael, do the announcements from your alma mater?
Just jump right into it.
I don't want to waste time. I want to know if it really made him aggravated.
Deck chairs, Queen Mary, go.
Yeah, no, that's it. Jamie nailed it. I think it's pathetic. I think it's one of the weakest moves I've ever seen by a head coach who will have a statue. Joke. Hey, I don't want to fire my church buddies, so what can I do? Oh, I know. I'm going to put six names in a hat and just move everybody around. I've never heard of it. I mean, I've never heard of it at any level of any sport. So what you're telling me is any position can coach any position, no problem. But yet every guy wasn't good enough at their job to keep their current job. It's handling a major Division I football program like you're handing out like camp counselor assignments. It's a joke. And I mean, honestly, it's what I said yesterday, and I don't like doing it because it is pretty nasty, but it's just how I feel. I just think if you buy tickets or you donate, this is on you. When that renewal comes in, there's no way you should renew. It's a joke. And Mark doesn't have a boss. Bill Beekman's a nobody. We don't have a president. And Mark, honestly, I think this just sets up Mark that if it doesn't work, he gets to walk into the sunset. And that's not what you do. If you make $5 million a year and you're the CEO of a company that's bringing in $100 million a year, that's not how you get to do things. Sometimes you got to fire people you like. Sometimes you got to look somebody in the eye and go, look, I like you, and we're friends, but you're not getting the job done for me, therefore we can't continue this. That's not what Mark did, and it's a joke. Pathetic.
Let me play devil's advocate. I totally agree.
That's usually what I do when it comes to D'Antoni.
Well, totally agree with what he's saying, but as I mentioned earlier in the show, let's say, hypothetically, that this new configuration – the offense is 20 to 25% better than it was last year, because last year was just historic garbage dumpster fire. With that defense, they could still maybe win 10 games maybe with even just a 20% improvement. So maybe that's what he's thinking.
So hold on. Time out. You're also assuming two major factors there, that the defense will go back-to-back with historically great seasons just because on paper it looks like they will. And then the other issue is, oh, well, a 25% improvement from the gutter. Yeah. You're still not in the penthouse. So I really don't care. Look, Stoney, look at MSU 15, 16, 17, 18.
Yeah, I know.
Their offense has gotten worse. Yep. They're never better than 90th. Like, what's a good year for MSU? 96th? I get what you're saying, but, Mike, football has changed.
I know.
The game has changed.
I agree. You've
got to change with it. Ridiculous.
And the other issue I have is it's not like Brad Salem was barred from bringing up ideas to the offense last year.
Correct.
So if they had this horrific offense, couldn't he at some point have raised his hand and say, oh, Brad, what about you? Hey, I don't know. Just a thought. Maybe get Felton Davis more involved or something.
Yeah,
you know?
The month leading up to the ball game, Mark, I was deeply involved with the offense. Oh, that's nice. Where was Brad if you were going to tap him to be the OC?
Right.
The whole thing is FUBAR. And ultimately, look, it's the same thing with U of M. Is if Mark doesn't let the new OC call his game unencumbered, then none of this matters. And that's my biggest issue, is that Mark just won't step off. Be the CEO, man. Handle the defense. If you want to dabble with the defensive backs, go for it. But Mark has shown, and he's admitted, he's not an offensive coach. And his ideas on offense are completely antiquated. So to me, I don't even know if it matters. But just the idea that it's going to be this same group of guys that have produced this pathetic offensive output over a 4-year period,
it's a perfect segue to what you alluded to, and that's Josh Gattis, the new offensive coordinator at Michigan. I mean, Stone and I talked about this bright and early this morning. Of all the things that happened yesterday with Michigan and Michigan State when it comes to their offense, the only thing that I really definitively can say, I don't know, is I'm glad Michigan finally has an offensive coordinator. It seems like a pretty good thing to have in modern college football. But that is if Josh Gattis is allowed to run an offense that he sees fit running. If he still has to go through Harbaugh to get the play on the field, then what good is it?
Right, and if he has three fullbacks on the team.
Sure. No, you nailed it. And ultimately, he had to replace a lot of recruiting.
Yeah.
With Washington and Madison leaving, this guy's supposed to be an ace recruiter. So that's check mark. I'm with you guys. Like, I think you can be hopeful about it, but do you believe, you know, 4 minutes to go in a game, they're down by three, they're at Wisconsin, don't you just kind of still, until you see it, believe you're going to see Harbaugh with that massive wad of tobacco in his mouth and a play sheet in front of him? Like, I still would have horror, like, memories of, nightmares of, oh, my God, he's got the play sheet again, and here comes Bench Mason on third and two. Yeah, I think you can be hopeful about it. I think it's a good hire. But Harbaugh's got to put the ego aside, and he has not shown any capability at any point in time of doing that.
So I know we're just kind of, I don't know, we're playing, let's do a little role play like Mike and I like to do. Did I just say that?
Yeah, you did. Does that have to do with your dreams?
If you're Harbaugh or if you're D'Antonio and you're watching Clemson, Alabama, or Oklahoma, I mean, go down the list, but Clemson, Alabama the other night, and you watch that, don't you say to yourself, oh, boy, or do you say, yep, we got this? I mean, isn't that an eye-opening? Like, what's the thought process that makes you think all is right in your world watching those two teams play?
The same thing that probably makes Tom Gores think all is right with his garbage franchise. Like, your ego just gets in the way.
But I don't think Tom Gores even cares about his franchise, where I think D'Antonio and Harbaugh care about their teams.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Bad example. I'm just still pissed I stayed up till 1 in the morning to watch that trash.
I guarantee you Tom Gores didn't.
Yeah, I know, right? It's nice to know Tom was in bed at a nice, responsible time in Beverly Hills, and my dumbass is sitting up watching that absolute vomit.
Watched last night after what you saw the night before?
Yeah, it's like a car accident. I just couldn't take my eyes off it. Then the Kennard thing happened.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, maybe it'll be a fight. Like, let's stay with this. And then you just get sick because you're watching, like, Marvin Bagley tossing up butter rolls from the free throw line, and the Kings are all, like, happy and into it and energetic. And I'm like, wow, what are these things that are off the court sitting in chairs? Oh, wait, those are fans. This is fun.
Yeah, but you're talking about one of the signature franchises, the Sacramento Kings. I mean, that's a proud.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just go into that hornet's nest and pull out a W.
And they were all there just to see the great Reggie Jackson, 3 for 11 and two assists.
Absolutely. No, I mean, to answer your question, Jamie, it's just, I think it's with any really successful people at that level, there's an inherent amount of ego in it. And you can care, but I'm sure when they watch it, they probably grumble to themselves, well, that's not football. Or, oh, I got to find a way to beat that. And instead of finding a way to beat it, you just join it.
Yeah.
That's where football is. Like, even if you only take your cues from the NFL, right? Let's say you don't even value the college minds. You think you're the smartest guy in college. Look at how the NFL has adapted to what the college game is doing. We're seeing the spread offenses. We're seeing the college concepts. We're seeing those things. Like, that's – the NFL is supposed to be where the best and brightest work. So even if you only take your cues from what the next level's doing, it's just all road signs lead to the same destination, Jamie. And our two coaches are just obstinate. It's like they're the two old guys in the balcony and the Muppets.
I love those guys.
They were great.
They were
not
great.
My football coaches making $12 million a year.
No.
Playoff games this weekend. Do the Eagles even have a chance? Because I think they're going to get trucked.
Oh, I'm the wrong guy to ask. I hate Nick Foles. I can't take anymore. Stoney, I'm with you. You just don't go down to the Dome and beat the Saints, and they're a different team down there. You kind of feel like they didn't even deserve to win last week. The Bears lost it more than they won it. Yeah, I'm with you. I just think the Saints win by double digits. I don't know about destroy and 48-8 again like it was in, what was that, week 11 or whatever. But, yeah, I kind of feel like Cinderella's run, this is where it turns into a pumpkin. The Saints are really, really, good and they have balance. And I understand what the Eagles have done, but if you look at December, great, you beat the Redskins with Jamie at quarterback.
That's right.
Or you beat a Bears team that put up 15 points, and for most of the day, I thought played horribly. Everybody wants to view it like last year with 373 in the Super Bowl, and I can't do that. I do think the Saints win by double digits.
Eagles can't run the ball really either.
No, and you're going to be one-dimensional. I think the Saints are 6-0 in the playoffs at Mercedes-Benz Arena or whatever, and everything points towards it's over. You know what I mean? Like, look at when that spread came out. Vegas was essentially bribing you to take the Eagles. I think it opened up at 9. So, yeah, I'd be stunned if the Eagles went down there and did this.
Real quick, the other three games, though, I think you can make compelling cases for all three road teams. Agree?
Agree totally. I think the weakest case I could make would be the Colts beating Kansas City, but I love them getting the 5.5. I mean, the Colts should be able to move the ball at will.
Yes.
Which means it should be pretty tough for Kansas City to ever gain separation. The Colts are going to dominate up front offensively. The Colts also are a zone-based defense, and I know Mahomes doesn't struggle against anything, but his numbers are lower against zone than man. I like the Bolts to go to New England and win.
Me too.
I know that's stupid, and I'm gonna look like an idiot. I know it. I feel it. Like Brady's gonna turn into a robot and just laser beam everybody. But I just think the Chargers are the second best team in the NFL. I think they're complete, and this is a Patriot team that I don't think this Patriot team would rank anywhere amongst the 10 best Belichick teams.
No, and Tom Brady's gotten so old that Tom Brady, when he won his first Super Bowl, the Seahawks were in the AFC and the Houston Texans didn't exist.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, Kingsbury was his backup for 10 minutes and the guy's a head coach now. But the one I think I feel strongest about, too, is I think the Cowboys beat the Rams. If you look at the way the Cowboy defense is playing, they're taking away the running game. And if the Rams can't run it, it doesn't totally take away, but it really neuters the effectiveness of their play action. And we've seen it that since Cooper Kupp got hurt and since the play action game has struggled for them, Goff is really mortal. And I think he ranks like 30th in the league against pressure. You look at the Cowboy offense, I mean, the Rams don't stop the run. And the Rams, I had Sully do this the other day. I mean, they don't cover big spreads. You're going to give me 7 or 7.5 by kickoff, and I get a Dallas team that's equipped to do this? Yeah, no, Jamie, I'm with you. I like the three dogs and the Saints. I really do.
But if the Rams lose, the great Sean McVay would be 0-2 in playoff games. He's revolutionized football. How can that happen?
Easy, because winning in the playoffs is totally different.
I know.
It's difficult. And, look, they're going for it, and I get that, but it is year two of the program, and Goff still has major questions to answer for me. I just think they're too reliant on their play-action game. And you saw the same thing with Atlanta a couple of years back where Matt Ryan was going 35% play passes on passing. Look, at a certain point, they're going to have Jared Goff drop back and throw the ball 4 times in a row. Play-action is a luxury. It can't be just what you expect, and I think that's a weakness for them. And last year, I'm not going to hold that against them. They were a fun story. They went out there, and to take your term, Goff pooped the bed. But like this year,
he pooped the bed. Yeah.
It's one of those deals where you're right. At a certain point, you got to rise up and make the plays. I just don't trust Jared Goff to do it. And this defense has never put it together this year, even with the star power they have.
Michael, have a great weekend. Enjoy the games, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. And Jamie, stop denying our love to everyone.
I know. Well,
it hurts my feelings.
The fact that you're open with it means now that I can be open with it.
Oh, coming out.
Yeah, exactly.
There it is.
Breaking
I love
news.
This, man.
Thank you. I love this man.
Have a good go Cats.
Go Cats. Yeah. Bye bye. Michael Valenti joining us here. Jamie and Stoney. Paul has news next. 97.1 The Ticket.